All right, good afternoon. Everybody waking up from their lunch coma, and there was probably time for a little nap there in between. My name is Sean Sportel, and before we get started, it's kind of nice to figure out who's in the room. So are there any teachers in the room today? All right. How about administrators in the school system? All right. How about ISD, RESAs? Okay. How about state level people? Okay. What else? What am I missing? What you got? Assessment coordinator for a school. Okay. How about you? A data coach. So any other coaches of any means? There we go. Okay, coaches. Anything else we've missed? A consultant, okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. Go ahead. Technical difficulties already.
This is why we come in a pair, because this is not my forte, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's also very nervous because I'm testing out the battery on my laptop.
I told him he's got to plug it in.
I just got off the phone with my tech guy, and I said, hey, we both need new batteries. He's like, well, how long? And she said, mine only lasts 45 minutes. I said, I'm not sure, but I'll test it out today.
Unreal.
I'm about
Unreal.
To present.
I know.
So if it dies, I do have a plug right there, so we'll plug it in.
Yeah, you can see who the comic relief is on our team. Yeah, so it's always good to have different-minded people on a team. Well, thank you for coming to our session today. It is so good to see the variety of roles that you all hold. I hope that our presentation today sparks something in you and that you celebrate some of the work that you're doing and that we can learn from each other. This has been a very collaborative journey for us. Let's see, it started about 7 years ago when our district, at the time I was at Kalamazoo RESA, and Sean was the principal at Galesburg Augusta Primary. And if you've heard of the Reading Now Network and all of the work on the west side of the state, we became a part of the Hill Project. So this work really started with the Hill Project. We have to give credit to all the great work that they did through Western Michigan University, which really kind of launched us. Started in the elementary, and then I came on as their curriculum director, and now I'm also their high school principal, and we've worked to scale this work up K-12. It has been a journey, and so we are happy to share our story with you today. We'd like it to be a little informal. If you have questions, please ask us. We want you to leave with something new to take away. So we're not very formal, so feel free to jump in if you have anything, okay? But today is really about trying to make MyKIP live. So I was their consultant at the time in 2021. You'll remember MyKIP was rolling out. We were in the midst of the pandemic. They were teaching in a hybrid mode. And now here's MyKIP. And we really saw this as an opportunity to kind of relaunch what school improvement had looked like in this district, moving from the building to then the district, and trying to create some processes that would really build a structure of continuous improvement in their district. So this is our team. We're very close. You can see our superintendent in that graduation picture. That's our superintendent all the way to the left, Dr. Lindsay Newton. So Sean and I are here, presenting today, but we'd be remiss to say that great work requires a great team and having an unwavering focus together. Our middle school principal is on the left. There's Sean and myself. After the pandemic, the ESSER money went away. We could no longer support my role as a curriculum director. So they said, hey, do you want to be the high school principal too? Never have taught high school, elementary background. And I'm like, sure. So that's kind of how we roll.
It wasn't really like, sure.
Yeah. But we are a very close-knit team, and I would say as we set the stage, the leadership component of this process is really important, as you all know. So, and also our staff. We have wonderful, wonderful staff. And I think what we're sharing with you today is that this is a collaborative process. This was a process that's owned by our district. You could ask any of our teachers. They could describe this process to you. It was very important that this was not something done to teachers, but with teachers. And so we have taken lots of feedback along the way, good and bad. You can imagine as you start to build some of these systems that, you know, there's barriers that you come across. And we, you know, met them right in the middle, had lots of conversation. We're going to share some of those shifts we made in our process today of continuous improvement. And that's where we are. And so really, today is about how we built this infrastructure for continuous improvement and learning. Teachers stay where they're valued and where they feel that they're supported. And so this has been really effective for us to build our professional learning system.
So we are, Galesburg Augusta Community Schools is, if you don't know where that's at, it's just east of Kalamazoo. Very small district. It's two small towns combined. So we do not have a lot of what we would call like your role, a data coordinator or things like that. We are everything. So the amount of titles next to my name is pretty extensive, as well as Teresa's. And so, like Teresa said, because I think we're so small, we're pretty involved in everything, which is a good and bad thing. But that kind of gives you a little bit of where we're at. So we're in Kalamazoo County. Our ISD is KRESA, and they support us through a lot of different things. But we're right by Kalamazoo Public Schools and Portage Public Schools. So those are the two big districts by us.
One thing this continuous improvement cycle has really built in our kids, too, is seeing how their teachers are learners. So we have really taken MyKIP, instructional rounds, coaching, professional learning, and kind of connected everything together. Also with FAME being our content, if that makes sense. So just kind of connecting those pieces. We love our kids. We're just around 1,000, just over 1,000 K-12. And so it's really important that we work hard to do what's best for kids. We have kids that come in with like lots of deficits and needing a lot of support. And so we are just making sure that everything we're doing in the classroom has the biggest impact that we can provide. So today is a great day to be curious, ask questions, problem solve with others. We're not sure if we're going to run the whole time. We saw the time. We're like, that's a really long time to talk. So we might give you time at the end to process and ask questions. So just know that we are problem solvers and we'd love to connect with you. If there's anything, we'll have our email addresses at the end. I know we presented for our county last fall. And then Nicole, she's our consultant. She made us come here. We're just going to say it. Wave your hand, Nicole. She was like, you guys should come and share that. So we're happy to sit down with you, connect with you over email. If you want some of the resources that we reference, we're happy to share anything.
And just to, you know, we're also very curious learners. This is my 26th year in education. Teresa's in past 20. Yep. But I've been a coach, a kindergarten teacher, a first grade teacher, a second grade teacher, a principal, a literacy coach, a football coach, basketball coach. Teresa's been everything under the sun. That just kind of, I always like to know who's presenting and what they have experience in. So that's kind of where we're at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I will say when MyKIP came out, we were leading the work and it was being developed at the same time. So any of you that were involved in that process, we learned a lot through our first cycle of improvement. On the left, you can see our goal. Prior to me coming on as their curriculum director, they hadn't had one for 15 years. So you can imagine that there were a lot of systems that needed to be built around curriculum instruction and assessment. So when we reflect on our goal now, we're like, that was very lofty. That was much too big. And so we're in the process right now of revision to continue our focus on MTSS. So we recognize our first goal was very large and very a lot embedded in there, but it served us well. One of the things that came out of that conversation, we had representation across the district, was we really needed to think about how do we have consistent data review processes? How do we build a professional learning system for teachers? Teachers were saying, we'll go to PD and we go to all these random PDs and there's nothing that happens after the fact. And we know that that doesn't work. We talked about a lot with instructional rounds having coming out of the Hill Project. We saw the impact that it had when we opened the doors and teachers got into each other's classrooms. Teachers of 25 years would say, this is the best PD that I get. I'd rather stay in-house and learn from my colleagues. We talked a lot about the evidence-based instructional practices. This was around the time we were implementing the literacy essentials. So we started to kind of connect all those pieces together. You can see on the right-hand side, those were some of the big leverage points that we had around our strategies. Today, we're going to really focus around FAME and instructional rounds.
I don't want to make any assumptions. My wife is also a teacher, been there a long time. She has no idea what the word MyKIP means. Does anybody not know what MyKIP is?
Good.
It's just basically the school improvement plan. Now there's a new word for it.
Yeah. Got it.
My wife still doesn't know what that is. She's not in my district. She would know.
Yeah, Lead with that. So you can see under our instructional round strategy that these were some of our different activities. We started with a close partnership with not only the Hill Project through Western, but then Kalamazoo RESA took on Harvard instructional rounds process. And so we learned that collaboratively with our other locals. And one of our activities was to create a district adapted model. One of the things that was really important to us as a district was to not just have the leadership team going in the classrooms or not just the administrators going into the classrooms. And so we knew this is great information from Hill, this is great information from Harvard. How do we marry this to make this work for what we need? Teachers received training around the identified instructional focus. We created strategy implementation guides. Professional learning came out of what we saw of rounds and just being able to support our implementation. The biggest thing, we started with rounds first before diving into FAME because we wanted to learn the strategy of instructional rounds, but then we also wanted it to use it to monitor our FAME work. So the purpose was really twofold. We first focused heavily in instructional rounds. How do we do this work? How do we schedule this work? And then slowly brought in more content of FAME. So that's worked really well. I know in some cases, FAME can be more of a grassroots kind of thing. And in our district, we really wanted to try to create some coherence K-12 that we were building some of these evidence-based practices across. Because as you know, in the secondary world, if you live there, there's often not a lot of PD and coaching for secondary teachers. So this was our way to tackle everything K-12. And really to create a professional learning plan that supports time of if we're going to do the rounds, we've got to do something with the rounds. There's no point in going into classrooms if the PD is not driven from those rounds. So I'm going to let you jump in with that.
So speaking of FAME, I think there's a vendor out there with FAME, but she did come in and she left some things up here. If you want formative assessment for Michigan educators. So there's some information up here if you'd like to have that afterwards. Teresa mentioned the Hill Project, which was brought to us by WMU, so Western Michigan University. And they really helped us get things started. So when I first became a principal 11 or 12 years ago, it's always, hey, would you like to come see somebody else's classroom and see what's in their room? And they're all like, yeah, sure. All right, I'll send out a sign up. That's about where it ends. No one signs up. Okay. Which is interesting because as I was a teacher, I was probably one of those people that nobody liked in terms of, I would just go in their rooms during my planning time because I liked to see what was on the walls. I liked to see how they were doing stuff. I liked to get to know the kids, whether they were younger or older. And that was the most powerful piece of anything I'd ever done. So whether it was going to get my master's or beyond that or any sort of learning I'd ever had, it was going to see somebody else teach. And so I was super excited about this Hill Project because I wanted to get into other people's classrooms and I wanted other teachers to get into other people's classrooms. And so when they came to us and said, or my superintendent came to us and said, hey, I want you to do this project. And I was like, great, I love instructional rounds, I love the idea of it, I love to get in people's classrooms, I want other people to get in there. And she said, I signed you up. So great, she said, the Hill will contact you with a facilitator. I thought, oh crap. how do I phrase this? You have to be able to work with somebody. And it has to be a nice fit. So this person came in, and introduced themselves, and I thought, hell no, this isn't going to work. And so I told my superintendent, and she said, I don't think you can do that. And I said, well, then I don't think we're doing this. And she said, well, yeah, but there's money and there's all sorts of stuff. And I said, uh-uh. So another person came in.
You weren't supposed to do this, by the way.
Yeah, and I said, okay, great. I met this person, and it was a little better. And I thought, nope, not a good fit. Teresa came in next. And so I kind of interviewed three people to come in.
Which you weren't supposed to do.
You were just supposed to be given whoever Western Michigan gave you. So that's how Teresa became part of our rounds process, our school. Eventually, I kind of helped draw her in to be our curriculum person and gave her an office across from me, which then I had to find a conference room because it didn't have that. We're a small district, remember? So, but then eventually she had to leave that wonderful office and me and go to the high school. So we first started in my building, and at that time, my building consisted of a three-year-old classroom, three four-year-old classrooms, and then four sections of K through four. So there's about 500 kids, not quite 500, like 480 at the time probably. And so that's how we first got off going here. And then everything that was started with Hill was kind of modeled like Teresa said, after those Harvard rounds. And so the Hill started off by taking a group of people, and they would go to another district, and they would take people who worked at the ISD, administrators from other districts, teachers from other districts, coaches from other districts, and you would go and you would kind of have a plan, and you'd walk through the buildings and you would just take notes on everything. How many things were on the wall? How many things were used within the classroom? Different people had how many times engagement was happening, and you took track of all of that data. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds of pieces of data, and you brought it all together. And then when you left that building, that group gave them a suggestion on one narrow focus to go ahead and go from there. That's how Hill started with instructional rounds. At Galesburg Augusta, we've kind of made it our own. So we still send people off to training for instructional rounds at our ISD that goes from the actual book. But then we kind of make it our own.
One of the things our teachers struggled with was the whole idea of a problem of practice. And so we were trying to work from the art of appreciative inquiry, like what's good here and what can we build off of. So that was one quick switch we made. We understood the research and making sure people understood the why of rounds, but that language did not sit right with our people. And so that was one of the first changes that we made, as we kind of took that away and called it our instructional focus.
And talking about through with teachers, it's a lonely, lonely profession. You are in a room with kids. You may see other adults in passing. You may see a couple of them during lunch or your planning period. But other than that, it's pretty lonely. And so we talked about that, because teachers do have a really, they possess their room, right? It's theirs. It's my stuff. It's my kids. And so to get them to think about it's our kids, it's our stuff, it's been a challenge, but it's been a very, very good experience. And we talked about how doctors, they go through this round process and they learn from each other. So when you're learning to be a doctor, you've seen it like Grey's Anatomy. They go sit up high in that booth and they're watching the surgery happen, and then they get to be a part of that and talk to about the procedures that's taking place. And so we kind of phrase it as that. So like I said, everything was kind of brought to us, and you're given an area of focus. So we started off by having a very specific focus that we were going to do that was provided to us from outside people. Those rounds that we had were, I think the first one we had was explicit instruction. Was that the first one? And so they said, okay, all of these things you've got going on, we really need to talk about explicit instruction. And so then our next steps became, well, what is explicit instruction? And so then our teachers had to define what that was. And it was a really cool process. Like, we had all these, you know, sticky notes all, or sticky pads all over the room. And the difference in people's opinion on what explicit instruction was giant. It was a huge range on what teachers thought was good teaching versus not teaching, what was explicit, what was not, what was a skill versus a strategy. That was a huge conversation for us. I bet we revisited that 3 or 4 different times because teachers still had a hard understanding of what a strategy was versus a skill that you're teaching. So it was a really, really cool process. These are the things that we've done throughout our process so far. So we've had explicit instruction. We've had small group instruction that we've gone in to try to take a look at. We've had effective writing instruction, learning targets and success criteria. What does that look like? That was a huge topic of conversation as well. Collaborative discourse is something that we just finished district-wide last year. So getting kids to talk. And how do we keep them talking? How does the teacher become more of a facilitator of learning than the one actually talking the whole time? And so this was taken all the way down to preschool, all the way up to 12th grade. And preschool kids can still do this and talk to each other. And if you haven't been in a preschool classroom like in a long time, this is actually what they do. They talk to each other about, like, I love this color purple. Why do you like this color purple? Mm-hmm. And they talk to each other.
One thing that we did, if you're a part of the FAME team and you have a FAME team now, I work very closely with Ann Lynn McKenzie. She's wonderful, from Muskegon ISD. And when I first started meeting with her, so you can see when learning target success criteria, that's getting into the wheel of learning target use, a lot of districts kind of took the whole FAME process and then started learning it all together. We found that we needed to deconstruct it a little bit and learn about the parts and then put it back together. So you'll see learning targets and success criteria. This was just post-COVID. We spent a long time about what the clarity of instruction, what do we want students to know and to be able to do? And then from there, when they were doing that successfully, then we moved down that wheel to eliciting evidence of student learning. And this is where we focused on that component. Instead of like actual assessments, we decided to go to conversation. It's very intentional coming out of COVID, especially in our secondary buildings. Kids just did not want to talk. It was more of this feeling like of apathy, and it was trying to re-engage kids back into school and teaching in a way that says, like, reading, like thinking, right, and having conversation together. And now we've shifted into that last of like putting it back together and spending a lot of time and focus in classrooms and on rounds focusing on adjustment of instruction. So how do we use data right in that moment? I'm seeing what I'm getting from the conversation or what kids are working on, and how do I adjust? I think elementary teachers probably do that more innately. Secondary teachers, it's like, oh wow, I hadn't thought about it. They'd collect the assignment and then they'd go sit, you know, and then they'd look at it the next day. But how do you do that level of differentiation like just in time? So that's kind of how our areas have shifted over time.
And let's be honest, those high school teachers sometimes weren't even looking at it the next day, right?
Yeah.
It could be 3 or 4 days before they even graded the assignment, and then it just went in a grade book or somewhere online. Mm-hmm. And so it was really taking a look at, if you're going to give a student something, what are you using it for? If you're not using it for anything, then why are you giving it to them? And that's been a big shift, I think, for some, especially some of the staff members who've been there a long time. I'm going to mention a third grade teacher in a little bit here, but I remember going in to his classroom, and he's got a stack of stuff that he's just going through. I mean, grading, you know, circling, stars, 100%, whatever it was. And I'm like, well, what are you using that for? And he goes, well, I'm gonna put it in the grade book. And I just went over and went, threw it in the trash. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, if you're not gonna use it, then what are you going through it for? And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. You know, whatever you're gonna give to a kiddo, let's make sure that they're looking at it to figure out what they're doing wrong or what they're doing right. And it just, he came up about a couple of weeks later, maybe a month, and he said, you know how much weight you just took off my shoulders to know that I can just figure out what the kids are missing and help them with that, then figuring out how many things I got to put in a grade book? I'm like, well, who asked you to put these things in a grade book? I didn't. But that's also me. That's also my philosophy. So I know that's a little different from people. So here was our Hill project that we, I think Teresa mentioned at one point, we presented at Western Michigan University. This is actually one of our teachers. Her name is Jill Palmer. Some of our kids, so they were on the cover of the magazine, which was kind of cool. They got to see that. I think they did little autographs and gave them out too. Mm-hmm. But so she's no longer with us in Galesburg, Augusta. She took a different job closer to her house and for her kids. But I asked her before we came here today, you know, what is the best thing that you had an opportunity for I call them learning rounds, instructional rounds. I use them back and forth. But she said, I love having an opportunity to sit in the classroom with my colleagues. It gave me the opportunity to see the teaching and learning taking place in our building. I learned some great ideas when I visited classrooms and got to share my teaching when visitors entered. So sometimes there are times that you can interact. We let them interact with the teacher as long as it's not impacting the lesson. And so they can get real-time feedback from the person that's actually teaching the lesson or whatever it is. So I mentioned Chad. Chad had been, this was the guy with the stack of papers. He had been teaching 30 years. He's still in our district. And this was years ago when we started this. And he, one of the things that he presented on, we asked him to come present at Western Michigan University. And he said he had been there 30 years. He had never been down two of my hallways in our building because everything for him was up front. The office, the cop machine, the lounge, the cafeteria, the gym, the music, the art, our steam room. Everything was up here for him. He had never gone back to second grade, to kindergarten, to first grade, preschool. He'd never been in those rooms. And he said, this was my first time in 30 years that I've actually been in all of those classrooms. He had no idea what they even looked like. They're all the same, pretty much. But he had never even gone to interact and say, this is your room, Randy Howe? Wow. To me, it blows my mind. The first thing I did as a principal was I went in everybody's room. I wanted to see, I went in every closet. I went in every storage unit. I told Teresa the same thing. When she became a principal, I'm like, take your key, go through everything. When my new teachers come into play and I walk them around, I take them to every single classroom. I don't just take them to theirs. It's just so important to get into people's rooms and see what they have. There's so many things that people have to offer that you just don't think about because you get in your routine, right? And I think that's part of what we stopped doing is sending a bunch of people to PD because it's great. It's great PD. Then you get back in your classroom and you're back into what you're doing. You don't have the time or the energy sometimes or the resources to continue going with what you just learned, even though you want to. So we kind of took most of it away and we do most of it in-house so that we can, and we'll show you in a little bit how we build upon that throughout the year. And everything we do builds upon each other. And we're a little different in each of our buildings, whether it's high school, middle school, elementary, but it usually has the same purpose or focus. Anything else about this one, Teresa?
No, I don't think so. So this slide really talks about how when we first started, we just had the leadership team doing this work. And then again, you know, we had all these checkpoints at staff meetings. How's this going? How's this feeling? We're building that system. And they said, why is it a secret? Because we often know the communication from the leadership team to the staff. We do the best that we can, but it did feel secretive. So we've then since built a model where every single teacher in our district in every single building gets an opportunity to participate on rounds. We do them monthly. At the high school level, we're doing them more quarterly. Our high school is smaller, but every single teacher gets to be a part of the process. So they're there for the calibration around the instructional focus. I'm gonna get into the gold standard guide in just a second here. They're building that capacity, then they're going and looking. And then they're coming up and having the discussion, and they are part of what PD they think the building needs based on that moment in time. And so that really made it feel safe. I think there were people, we had issues with the union in the beginning. This feels evaluative, and we had to keep proving that it wasn't evaluative. that kind of sat over here. We know evaluation is about best practice. We did not use that tool. We created a new walkthrough tool that was separate from the evaluation tool. You can see on the right, that's three of my high school teachers who had never had instructional coaching, had never like been in each other's classrooms, and over time have built trust with one another to share ideas. And once they got to be a part of the process, the fear went away. So
that all of those things on the left are part of the FAME project, and everything kind of led from there. And so these people that are in this room, like Teresa said, were kind of our leaders of the building. And for the first year, they were on the rounds, right? And so then we were like, okay, we got to share this process with everybody, and everybody got to participate. We do make sure in most buildings that there's always someone that stays from round to round so that they can talk about what they saw maybe last time versus what they see during this time. That's also Teresa's office that we turned into. That was a conference room. And I think I left with those flowers in the background. Where are those flowers?
I don't know. One of those closets, I guess.
We talked about kind of how we plan everything out. So in August, again, we're small. So the four of us sit down and we plan everything out for the entire year. Right here in the middle there is what we have our professional learning plan with every single date that we have. So in our district, we have three Tuesdays a month that are staff meetings, but all the staff meetings have an agenda or a topic prior to even, like, I don't have to create anything tomorrow, which I send out for Tuesday's meeting. It's already here and ready to go. And then in this plan, so in our district, we have those three Tuesdays a month. We have one Wednesday a month that's a half day. And then we have, PD throughout. All of that is put on there, as well as our learning rounds for each building, because we want to make sure that things aren't scheduled at the same time. So one of the things that everybody always asks us is, well, how do you do that with so many people gone? So in my building, I have six people on rounds, plus me, and then anything else that happens throughout that day, right? So in my building, I think there are 36 teachers, maybe, or more, maybe. But that's just my building. So we have to get subs for all those people. And sometimes that is a challenge, but we actually put those subs in August, all the way through June. And so it's already in the system. The teachers aren't going, oh, I'm on rounds this week, I better put in, I need a sub. Nope, it's already done.
The other thing we're strategic about is when those rounds fall with when the half day is and then when those Tuesdays are. So if we have rounds more towards the beginning of the month, then we have a Tuesday meeting to debrief the rounds to make sure the data is shared out. And then we have the half day to be able to provide professional learning. And one thing we've uncovered, if you just don't plan long-term like that, then you've got things in our, school, I'm trying to think, count is, this particular day and we have teachers out, so then it gets canceled, and then it never gets rescheduled. So we're just very strategic to make sure the rounds happen in all three locations, spread out, try to avoid Mondays and Fridays because of subs. I mean, you guys are in the room, you live this with us. But we plan that first along with our quarterly data reviews. And those are hard and fast that we do not cancel, and nothing will trump that work. So
our process works like this. One, we send out something that looks like this, a couple weeks prior to the round, where teachers can sign up for what time works best for them. So they don't have to change anything. They just... This is the time I would like you to come in. We have done it so much that kids don't even really turn around to see six people come in the room. They just keep going. It's not, a lot of, when we first started, they're like, oh, this is a dog and pony show. We know you're coming, so teachers are going to prep it. And our responses together are, well, shoot, if they really prep this, we got some real work to do. So that's just between us. We don't say that out loud. But So yes, we know, you know we're coming, but we're still collecting all that data. And we're only in the rooms for about 15 minutes. In my building, sometimes we have to double up where we'll split and half of us will go this way and half of us will go this way. But for the most part, everybody goes into a classroom. And when we first get in the room in a big conference area, we talk about how we're going to calibrate everything. And so what that means for us is we take a look at our gold standard guide, which we have for each of those things. So for explicit instruction, we had all of the things that we wanted to see for explicit instruction, all the way down to the success criteria, the learning targets, the engagement. I can't think of anything. There's like seven different categories. And in those seven different categories, our district had already discussed with all of our teachers what it meant to meet all of those goals. What was the gold standard for each of those specific things? And we change it all the time because we continually collect data on, you know, what it means to having these things. Does the success criteria have to be on the board or is it implied? Does it have to be said every 5 seconds or do the kids just have to know it? So all of those pieces we collect and we have it on a guide for when our team goes in. And so what we do is we split up those things. So I'm not looking at the success criteria and learning targets of that lesson with six people. I'm the only one, or maybe we're both collecting that. And what we have come to find out is we have to put it in a form that we can actually show growth and data on. And so Teresa and I aren't necessarily the tech people, but we had somebody create a form for us. So what we do is we split up all of those different pieces and we go collect all of the data. When we get back into the room, we put it into a form to see, okay, so how many out of the 36 teachers talked about success criteria and what the kids needed to know before they left that lesson? And is it 25 out of the 30? Okay, that's pretty good. Why didn't we see the other five? Well, it was a transition. There was small group happening, so maybe it happened before we got there. So we have those conversations. We don't just like say, oh, they didn't have it. Maybe it was there, we just didn't know it. A lot of teachers use slides and they keep going. And so there's on those slides, is their learning target or success criteria? And I'm just saying that learning target is success criteria because that's just easy. But there's so many things that we go ahead and we talk about what we are gonna collect and what we're gonna see. And the best part is that our teachers created all of that. So it's not something that I did or the state did or the administrators did. The teachers created what it looks like and what they think is best.
So one thing that we uncovered, collaborative discourse, we spent a lot of time. We spent 2 years here really building capacity in teachers. We were finding that we had a subset of kids that really struggled with executive functioning. I don't know if it's just post-pandemic or just kids now overuse of technology, but we started to partner with K-RESA too around the inclusive blueprint work about the learning strategies and really focusing on executive functioning. So if we want all kids to have access to the conversation, we need to put scaffolds in place to make sure it's accessible. And so we really spent a lot of time around visual supports in the classroom, especially at the secondary level, sentence frames, sentence stems, to make sure that all kids had access to the conversation. And we share this because we never lost our unwavering focus around FAME, but we realized we had to weave some things in there to make sure everything was accessible for all of our learners. One of the things we talked about was that gold standard guide of implementation. And so we are so grateful for our FAME coach, Ann Lynn. She helps me a lot. But we really start to think about what is our research base. So we do not build our gold standard guide just based on what we do. And that was a misconception. A lot of teachers, well, this is what I do. And I'm like, that's great. Let's hold that for right now. Let's dig in and see what the research says first. We often use the FAME website. We got videos from there. The Learning Point articles are awesome because they're just enough digestible information for teachers to be able to read and then be able to do something with. So we spent a lot of time building that gold standard guide and broke it down by components. So some of those components were is there an environment to support collaborative discourse? So things such as, you know, does the teacher use roles and responsibilities? Are there norms and working agreements? I mean, if you're going to have conversation, there's a big foundational piece within that. We talked a lot about learning targets and success criteria, that the conversation, it's not just talking, right? It's not just, you know, the teacher asking a question and someone speaks. It's about the actual authentic discourse that's taking place. And it should be around the learning targets and the success criteria. So we spent a lot of time digging into the research and pulling out what does that practice look like and sound like in implementation. So they'd read the article, they'd watch the video, they'd take notes, and then that middle process would be a little bit of that collaboration. So making sure we didn't stray away from the integrity of the research, what does this practice actually mean? What does that look like? In the beginning with learning targets and success criteria, we had a lot of teachers that were putting like, this is by activity, this is what the kids are doing. They're completing the worksheet, and it's like, that's the mode, that's the vehicle, but what's the learning? And so we spent a lot of time really kind of around that practice and developing that. Once that gold standard guide is built that you can see on the right-hand side, we continued then to use it as a tool for learning. So we would show other videos, and they would have the guide in front of them, and then they would take notes like we were teaching them, highlight the things that they saw, and then have conversation around, did we see that practice? Are we sure? Are we just inferring that it's probably there? And just having that open dialogue. So we spent a lot of time in this process, you know, working closely with the union because, you know, they thought for sure that it was evaluation. We talked a lot about how we take descriptive, non-judgmental, non-identifiable notes. So we made sure, like, we don't put teachers' names in this. We're not putting kids' names in this. This is us scripting what we see and then going back to those gold standards and underlining or highlighting what evidence did we see and having conversation about that. So teachers would then take this gold standard guide into the classroom with them. They would script, and at the very end, then they would highlight or underline what they see. We'd go to all the classrooms, and then we disseminate the information together. One misconception, we had a principal at one time that she created time and where it was like, we'd go to a classroom and then we'd talk, and then we'd go to a classroom and talk, and it's like, that looks like evaluation. But it's when you are looking at trend data, you're like, what is happening in all my classrooms, not just one? They started to see, this is the learning that the building needs. So that's where we spent a lot of time. That tool is foundational. I always hate to say this, but we are the lowest paying district in our county. We have a lot of teacher turnover. But the benefit in this process is it creates some sustainability. So when people leave, we have it. So when somebody comes on board and we're onboarding, we're like, this is what we believe about small group instruction. This is what we believe about writing instruction. And we have coaches that help with the implementation of that. But these tools also help us with onboarding. And as you know, every district loses people every year. And it's a, how do you keep moving forward while also bringing everybody along? Teacher feedback came into play with this. They felt that the gold standard guide was a great research base, but it was cumbersome. And so we broke them down by components. So I know that's super tinky tiny. I have this all paper if you know you want me to send it to you. But like teacher questioning strategies way on the right. Here's what the research said based on those FAME Learning Point articles, some other research that we pulled in. And then you'd have a column to keep track of what is the teacher saying and doing, but then also what's the impact on learning? What are students saying and doing? Rounds are not just about what the teacher's doing. Yes, that's an added benefit, but we can have the best laid lesson, and if the kids don't get it, we know we need to adjust. So we got really intentional about our tool in that case. These are rounds in action. You can see just some of our teams. We kind of tend to stay at the back of the room if the teacher's directly instructing, but if the kids are working together, we just pop on the floor and we kind of listen in and try to just gather some tidbits of information. And so that's kind of what some of our teams look like. The sticky note, this was something that came up too. The Hill process really taught us to do thank you cards at the end, and we give them candy, and it was great. But having been a teacher, the second somebody comes in my room and they're going to leave, I'm like, well, what? Like, you know, is this good? Is this bad? And so we integrated sticky notes in the process. So they have a clipboard, they have their walkthrough tool, they have a sticky note on each page, and they leave something good. This is not a wondering. This is like, I love the way you interacted with that difficult student. That was a great strategy to handle that restoratively or something. And then we stick them on the door when we leave.
You don't have something good to say? You just don't say anything.
No,
at all.
You don't do that. You don't.
But that's not true. Every single, yeah. We haven't had somebody not put a sticky note on the door.
Yeah, but we have seasoned teachers that have been doing it very long, and they're like, I read these. They have stacks. They keep them. Because we give feedback, obviously, as administrators, but when it comes from your peers, it just means so much more.
So this was a picture from the end of the year, and this particular teacher left them on the board, or left them on the door. So every year she'd take them down, and she'd keep them. And she would read them every once in a while just to, you know, when you're having one of those days. Maybe every day she reads it. I don't know. But that, so this, yeah, it's a great thing. It's my favorite day of the month because, one, I don't have any other responsibilities. And I can go into these rooms. But I get to sit and play with the kids, and we get to talk about all of the great things that are happening, because you just don't, as a teacher, you just don't, I'm in a room. You don't get to see the other great things that are happening all the time, and to steal information and to steal ideas from different people, or borrow, but.
So then the teams debrief at the very end of the day. Sometimes it works out that we have to do like a couple debriefs, just based on how much time is left at the end of the day. We want to make sure, because we let teachers sign up for whatever time works for them. And so we make sure that our teams see all the same people. Some different models of learning rounds, different people see different people. But this is an opportunity for us to calibrate without names and just really ask questions about what they saw. Make sure that they're understanding. Having conversation of how this might apply into their content. Or, you know, what are you going to take away? I think, what do you say? You say, what is the one thing you're going to take away today that you can implement tomorrow? So it's really about, like, actionable next steps. And then we input our data. So we originally started with glows and grows. This came out of our Hill work. It felt really good to, you know, list all the glows all the way down. And then we would really be intentional about how many grows do we want to share. What's high leverage, and what is something that will really launch us forward? What's something that's really impactful? High school teachers do not like glows and grows, so I do highly, like, don't recommend that. So we had to move to strengths and areas of opportunity, which I was good with. It was good. Again, getting their feedback. We just kind of revise our process as we go. But this is how we started. And we would create that list together, and then we would share it out at the next staff meeting. We made sure that that feedback came in a conversational setting versus just an email, because we wanted grade levels, departments to kind of meet and collaborate around what that actually meant. But then our district teacher leadership team, which drives our MyKIP, which drives all this work forward, right? They're the ones that bring all the feedback, said, we need to quantify this a little bit more. And we had teachers kind of pushing back on, like, is this as data-driven as we think? Because I kind of put myself in the shoes of, if you've been in 20 classrooms for the day, and the last three have really strong learning targets and success criteria, isn't that sometimes your inclination to be like, ooh, like, we're doing it, right? It's going really well, because you kind of left on that high note. This was feedback from our teachers. This did not come from our administrators. This was our district teacher leadership team. And then Nicole Kalmbach right here, raise your hand again. She's our data person, and she helped me create this, because the idea was there, but I needed help to make it happen. And so what we did, this is a spreadsheet. It's, see, nothing's fancy. So I feel like you can take things back and try things without it feeling super overwhelming. Along the bottom, we took every single component of collaborative discourse along the bottom. So there was a tab for each component. So environment to support collaborative discourse, learning targets, success criteria, teacher questioning strategies. And I think the other one was like the structure. Like, how do you, what are some different protocols and structures you use? Then across the top are all the components that fall under that component. I think you can probably see that now.
So, I mean, things at the top that you probably can't see that far back are, you know, what Teresa just said, but it also has, like, you know, proximity of the teacher, that when they're talking about a productive discourse. How was the seating arrangement? Were they sitting next to each other, or were they able to actually look each other in the eyes? Because even as low as kindergarten, we work on handshakes, we work on eye contact. We have to do that with collaborative discourse too. What does it look like when you're having a conversation when you're sitting next to someone? You can't be looking down, you have to be looking at them. And so if you're not having that a seating arrangement for that to take place, that was something that we wanted to look at and keep track of. Other things up there were just like, was there value and respect? Was there modeling happening? Were the kids self-evaluating? So there's a whole lot of things that they're keeping track of.
And so we kept track of only yeses. This was a debate in the question. Do we do the no's? Do we do the partials? And we decided if this is a practice that's really around appreciative inquiry, we want to see what's actually good, what's happening. The cool thing is it quantifies it at the bottom. That was a teacher, my Spanish teacher, said, do you know how to do percentages across the bottom? And I'm like, I mean, it's a great idea, but no, I actually don't know how to do that. I'm just being vulnerable. I'm not a very good spreadsheety person. And she said, I'm going to add that for us. So you can see that the teachers keep giving input along the way. That just makes it so much better. But then you could start to see, okay, here's our data set from, what was the high school in October of?
24,
so 3 years ago. And we talked about how this is a snapshot in time. So let's start tracking this. So if 85% of rules, routines, and procedures were set, let's see if that's what it says next month. And so we could start to have conversation about actual numbers and see if our strengths were really our strengths. This was a turning point. This is when it really became very data-driven. There was a lot of, when you have to enter it into a spreadsheet, if I'm going in the classroom and I'm looking for learning targets, there's more intentionality in my data, right? Because now I'm putting it here versus, oh, a glow was I saw a bunch of learning targets, right? So it got a lot more data-driven, a lot more intentional. And then we talked about this, but that data then becomes professional learning. So we work with our coaches. We connect coaches into this process. Our coaches attend every round because then they're putting together professional learning. Sometimes we lead that. We're small. I don't have a coach, so it's me. We really think about, does this need to go out in grade levels? Is this something that needs to be done by the building? But that's all the trend data that we're collecting from those rounds.
Go back to that part too. Yep. So my building has been doing it like 6-7 years. Yep. And so we've evolved a little bit where Teresa mentioned, like, we don't use anybody's names. We don't, even when we're calibrating that, you saw it had teacher one, teacher two, teacher three. I mean, we mix everything up. And so they don't even know what's going on in terms of that person that we went to see. We've evolved a little bit to the grows and glows. Now we're glows and wonderings. Mm-hmm. And so when we go to present at the next staff meeting or the next PD day that follows the rounds, the team that was there actually for me comes up front and they kind of lead that staff meeting. And they do have an opportunity now that we're vulnerable. We still don't ask negative questions, or we're not criticizing anybody, but we do have an opportunity to ask things that we saw. So for example, like, Nicole, I loved how your kids were over in the corner. They were playing this game with collaborative discourse. Can you tell me how you set that up, and can I have a copy? So we're actually talking about it now and being able to know what happened in that room. And so that's pretty powerful. And then my biggest thing is in the rounds is, what are you taking away? Like Teresa mentioned, like, what can you implement tomorrow from somebody else? But we always make a list of the things that you saw that you think is really, really cool, or things that you can implement tomorrow. And it might be as simple as I loved what was on the board in that chart. It could be that simple. But every single person comes up with something that they were able to take away from every single classroom. So that's pretty cool.
So from there, we built a Google Drive around collaborative discourse. This has become a very helpful tool. We started to see so many great things happening, and we wanted to document them. One thing that maybe it's not just our teachers, but they want to know, what are other people in our district doing? They struggle seeing videos from the outside. They're like, that's so polished. There's only 6 kids in that classroom. Those aren't our kids. And so we started to build where we put videos in there. We took pictures. We had teachers popping it into, it was, you know, collaboratively owned, and everyone put examples in there so that our coaches could use it with teachers, you know, and that people could put their own examples in there. And it became a really good learning point. I think sometimes we do so much great work and then we shift our focus to something else and then it just kind of can kind of go away. But it's like a nonstop shop for collaborative discourse, even though our focus has shifted just a little bit. I'm kind of looking at time. I'm going to kind of rush through a little bit of this. Our coaches attend all of that, and then they provide coaching around that area of focus. So our coaches are, we have early literacy coaching through MDE, like that partnership, and Leslie and Heather, their data, this is in the elementary, and they provide implementation support of what is coming out of those rounds. What are some things that grade levels might need? What are some things that new teachers might need? And what are some things that the building might need? I'm gonna skip that part for now. So after each month, when we have those data spreadsheets, our district teacher leadership team members bring those to our MyKit meetings. We use Wellman and Lipton on the left. We kind of jazzed it up with our GA stuff a little bit, but you're familiar with that data protocol. And we start to then look at it from the district lens. What are some things that we see across all 3 buildings that might become an area of focus? Then from there, this is just a template that we used for our monitoring. What stage of implementation are at? What's our evidence? What's our scale and reach? How do we know? What's our evidence? What's our capacity around this? How do we know? And as you know, MyKip, we were trying to implement it and make it feel like our real continuous improvement process. And what we discovered was, even on that team, we had different understandings. So together from there, we built a strategy implementation guide. And we really built it from the ground up to say, if you're going to start rounds brand new, like Sean talked about with the Hill Project, and you have people from the outside coming in first, we had phases in our implementation guide that spoke to that. And then there were parts in our implementation guide here that really focused on like scheduling, like what's all the priority, so that I'm confident if I step away, they can keep following it and doing it. And that's the whole point of these written systems, is to make sure that they're not people dependent. And this tool has been very helpful for us. Now having more coherence around even the parts of rounds, you'll see on the right-hand side, it's nothing fancy, but when we have those monitoring conversations, they report back by building. And they'll say, what are some things that we need to do now based on the phases in that strategy implementation guide that just our building needs? So like one example, it's so tinky tiny, hopefully you can see our PowerPoint later, but like the middle school had a really tough time with this. Their culture was really struggling. They had a new leader and they weren't used to the accountability that came with that new leader. And so one of their next steps was, we need to still build understandings around what this process means and it's not evaluative. Why we do, building the why. Whereas the primary, they're like, we've been doing this for 5 years, so this is not new for us. We need to make sure, what are some things? Making sure PD correlates to perceived needs. Sometimes it's easy, as we all know, to pull in a random PD, but just making sure everything's aligned. So you can see that these monitoring conversations using that strategy implementation guide got real specific, and they had great conversations. And then they would share out by building, so that we could decide, are we ready to move this strategy? I'm excited to say after 7 years, we've moved this one to maintenance, so we're really excited about that. And I think change takes time, and you guys all know that, but to see the fruits of the labor and see, okay, we really dialed in with this one. FAME, we're still installing because we're still trying to see that formative assessment process. Still have a lot of misconceptions that it's not just quizzes. We're still working on that. So that one is still being installed, but rounds is really confidently implemented. And those were some of our monitoring conversations. You can see some of the feedback that I tried to synthesize some of that for you. When we dove into formative assessment process, we reflected on our 2 years with collaborative discourse. Some of the things that teachers said was, there's some cross-component redundancy. So things that might be in learning targets was also mentioned in environment or something. So how do we make sure that less is more? Our first set of walkthrough tools had a lot on there. And I said, remember though, you guys were the ones, they pulled the research, I just typed it. So they would, you know, share what all their components were to go on there. They would review it and say, is this what we want? Yes, that's what we want. But then they'd walk through with it and say, there's too much to look for. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But then again, kind of being more intentional with the formative assessment process one we're creating right now to make sure that what's on there is exactly what we want it. And they feel more invested because they know that what's on there is what they agreed to. So if they don't say we don't want this on there, it's going to be on there. Just some reflection of PD, just making sure that our half days, what really came out of that is we needed more days to revise curriculum maps and things like that. So that feedback came out. You can see revision, making sure there's a formula to quantify responses. And then individual goals set by each building. So those conversations have really been teacher-driven, very helpful to our process. We kind of talked about some of the barriers that we had over time. Time, you gotta schedule it. It's gotta be a priority. And making sure that your administrators are supportive of the process, we come. There was a little bit of like, well, I think it should just be teacher-driven. And I'm like, if I'm the instructional leader of the building, I have to know what's happening. And so we all commit to being there. Emergencies might take us away from time to time, but we are there and we create the time and space and we make sure every teacher gets to be a part of it. Transparency, sharing the data. I'm like, you can access these spreadsheets. You can see all of them. There's no names. Sean mentioned this. They have their walkthrough tools. We get back. The first thing we do is we shuffle them because it's about building trends. It doesn't matter which teacher is in which box. It does not matter. But them seeing the process and living it has helped a lot with trust. And then just making sure that we stay focused and aligned as a district. So we are very intentional about implementing formative assessment. We believe so strongly in that. I know that's the ticket for us to really use data to inform instruction. And so sticking with it. It's hard sometimes to keep everybody aligned, but we do our best with that. So Sean's got some quotes about teacher impact, and then we'll just leave a couple minutes for questions if you have them.
Oh, yeah,
I do. It's so tiny. I didn't realize how tiny it would be. Sorry. Can't
really see. Yeah, these are just a couple of quotes that we asked teachers if they had anything they wanted to share about Learning Rounds. And I like participating in Learning Rounds because they help me step back and look at instruction beyond my own classroom. I always walk away with a few practical ideas I can try, especially from small group ideas, and it helps me be more intentional about my own teaching. I also mostly enjoy people coming into my room because I enjoy reading the nice sticky notes afterwards. It's really refreshing to be recognized for the things that are working in my classroom. So we still have teachers that are very, very nervous about people coming into their rooms. The first few times were nerve-wracking, but once we got rounds going regularly, so this is somebody who's been there a while, it became more comfortable being observed by peers, coaches, and administrators. It happens so often that myself and students keep going about our lessons whenever people walk in. My favorite part of rounds is being able to observe the other grade levels. I always walk away with tidbits to try in my room. Another benefit of rounds is being able to see the process across grade levels. It has helped with alignment to know more about expectations in higher grades and what students are doing in younger grades before coming to us. Plus, I love seeing the growth of my former students. So a lot of that is when they walk in, the only times kids now move and say hi is if it's a former teacher and they run over, high five, hugs, miss you, whatever they need to do. And then the last one there, participating in the instructional rounds process is valuable to me as an educator because learning from my colleagues is a quick PD. I always walk away from each room with something to implement with my own students, regardless of grade level or content level. As a building, our rounds process helps to align best practices across the school. We're able to provide specific next step professional development based on the data collected to move us forward and then monitor progress throughout the next set of rounds. As a result, we have been able to make huge strides towards ensuring quality instruction for all students.
So So just a few things to think about. I tried to reflect because it's been a long 7 years. But just really thinking about leadership and readiness of your district, it worked well for us to start at the primary and scale up. Some you might be like, we're all in and we're all jumping in. I think it depends on the leaders you have and the ability to do that. And then just really thinking about what is your MyKIP goal, what's your focus, and how can you use the rounds process, coaching, PD, and connect it. Our union president said to us, I think it was last year at negotiations, this is the first time where it doesn't feel like we're doing 100 things. We're just focused on this. And it's been really exciting to see MyKIP actually be done as it's intended. I think in the past, it was like, we quick write this plan. Don't tell anybody who's in here from MDE. But, you know, we just put it on our shelf, and we really don't do anything with it. And so I think using the rounds and the coaching and connecting it all really becomes the driver to make that goal live. And then with rounds, create a process that works for yourself. I think sometimes we, you know, follow the research, which we need to, but if the model doesn't work exactly as we need it, it's okay to tweak it and use your teachers along the way. They'll tell you what they don't like. They'll be very honest with you. And just making sure that professional learning and coaching is connected. Now, there's some variance, obviously, if we have a new teacher. There's some things that you're going to support them with, but we really ensure that coaching is aligned and they are implementation support for what our focus is. And then through there, we have strong data review processes. You all do around student academic data, but this is a process we use to really monitor adult implementation data, because we know if we change teacher practice, we'll change outcomes for kids. So.
It's good for new teachers. Yeah. I take my new teachers, and they're on my first 2 months of rounds. So they get to see all of those things that are happening in other rooms. They get to see them right away.
Yep. Any questions for us? That's all we have. Oh, Nicole, we didn't pay her to ask a question.
Have you ever had those at the elementary
school? We haven't yet.
Well, we did for, we had a couple years ago, we had middle school staff come.
Oh, that's right.
To take a look, because they're like, well, you know, it can
they
be done.
They were not wanting to do it.
Elementary school, can it be done at the middle school? And they were like, wow, I didn't realize this young, they could do some of these things. And
I think that's a good next step for us.
We haven't had high school staff come.
No, we've been trying to just get our secondary folks on board to, like, this isn't scary with the people that I know versus, like, really people I don't know coming in. But we've talked about that. I think that would be good for us.
And we've had coaches come from other districts or other buildings, but only a few teachers from the middle school so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
How do you balance, you run into a bureaucratic guys that is a lot of work, a lot of time. How do you balance the need to build that up and do it well with the need to have 6-7 months to work on the outcome? How did you approach it from the building?
No. And I think it came out of still struggling for coherence. Like when you're talking to your leaders, and if your leaders have differences, like that's an issue. We kind of wrote it over time. So we tore apart, like, here's the components of our rounds that we hold to. And then they got into small groups, and they helped to create it. And then they would share it back whole group, and they'd give feedback. So we kind of broke it apart versus doing the whole every component together. Does that make sense? Because I felt the need to accelerate it a little bit. Because I'm like, we could be doing rounds installation for 10 years. So, it's not. Well, and that's part of it too, because I think you have to live it and do it first to find out what doesn't work. And so I think sometimes with school improvement, you create the guide and then you're living it and you're like, it's not really what's happening. So we were probably separate from Hill, I think year 3, probably. I think we've had it for 2 years. But it's not perfect. This is just our way. There's no right way, right? I don't know. Whatever works for your people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you're more teacher-led. I was wondering some examples.
So, for example, like last year for collaborative discourse, all of our people who were doing the FAME, there are our teacher leaders. So we would meet how many times do we
meet? Once a month.
Once a month for that. We would actually work on like those little articles that Teresa mentioned, we would provide the resources for them, and then we would give them time during the FAME meeting to help prep and plan what they were going to implement back in the buildings.
Yeah, so I worked with them to create an agenda, and this is Ann Lynn McKenzie from FAME. She helped me with this because we wanted to send all of our adult leaders to adaptive schools, but like it's so far away for us that we couldn't afford lodging. Like it was such a barrier. And so some of the things, like we built a common agenda. They all use the common agenda. We talked a lot about inclusion activities and why the brain needs to start with that. It's not an icebreaker. That's a completely different thing. And so I kind of structure their meetings so they can take my agenda and implement it with their people, but put a little bit of their own spin on it. Does that make sense? So like, here's the research we want to share, but how you go about doing that, if you want to do a different collaborative discourse activity with your teams, there's kind of tight and loose with that. Because what we were struggling with, we have great leaders, they're phenomenal teachers, but they don't know how to necessarily lead adults. So. It depended on each building. The primary has been moving faster with things, I would say. But there's different components that we make sure we share and that they collaborate around. But how they go about doing that can be different. So like my high school leaders are not yet ready to lead my staff. And so they will have a part of my agenda, whereas some of them have been to adaptive schools and have more leadership skills, so they will lead. Mine are not quite ready yet. We kind of do it collaboratively. I don't know if that answers your question, but kind of.
We do that for, like I said, all of us have different roles too, so some of those people also lead like our data meetings. They're the ones that are providing the PD for that. It's taken a long time for us to kind of step back and let them do those things, but I think it means more coming from them than it does from me or from an outside person. But it's been a journey.
Yeah, we kind of coach them behind the scenes. Like, this is how you lead a data review. Here's how you might answer some questions. But then they're the ones that do it with their team, and we're there. But we're really, because we're small. And we have four of us trying to do, we don't have as many people. We have to build capacity in our teacher leaders or we will drown. So that's kind of how we've done it. But some districts have like 8 or 9 coaches and they have lots of people. But when you're small, you just have to adapt and you really got to press into your teacher leaders and really equip them. That's all we have. We'll stay back if you have questions. Thank you so much for being here today. Nice to meet you. They clapped, so I assumed it was done. It's like, yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Sure. Oh my gosh, I'm like gonna rip my shirt. Oh yes. Oh, thank you. That means so much.
Thank you so much.